Hello, and welcome to episode 195 of the Nintendo Jump Podcast. We are a weekly discussion podcast created for Nintendo gamers by Nintendo gamers. Today is Friday, March 25th. My name is Kevin, and today I'm once again joined by my good friend Sergio. What's good, man?
Hey, Kevin. Can we say that today kind of sucks?
Now, why is... I know. Okay, why is that?
I don't know. Today feels a little easy, but a little charming, kind of cute, but kind of angry looking in other regions.
Would you say it's in a land not forgotten or forgotten?
I would say forgotten. What were we talking about again?
We're talking about the day. Well, with this day, back at it again, by popular demand, we have our special guest host back, Dragon.
Or
Marco. Marco, how you doing, man?
Hey, I'm feeling, light, fluffy, hanging in there.
Yeah.
Sometimes I forget who I am. No, I'm just kidding. I'm doing great because today is Kirby's in the Forgotten Lands release date. And I haven't picked up the game yet, but I'm really excited for this one. How are you guys?
Yeah, I am doing pretty swell. I don't think this day sucks because I'm not getting the game yet. I am holding off because I am currently in a, well, let's just say it's, I am in this situation where I'm trying to implement a strategy in the form of a triangle, right? Like, so more than twice, three times. Thrice.
Oh, wow. Okay. Oh,
so yeah. Thrice. You forsake the round strategy for the triangle one.
I have. And boy, oh boy, it is a marvelous game. And the game I'm referring to is Triangle Strategy, or as I would call it, Tristrat. T-R-I-S-T-R-A-T. If that's not a hashtag, I don't know what is. That was really lame. You can call me on that. No pitchforks, please. But yes, today is Kirby Day. I'm really glad that Kirby is here back at it again. Not just a demo, the full game. And yeah, I mean, so far it's looking like it's doing pretty well in the reviews land. I mean,
yeah.
Looking forward to seeing how people like it when they're done with it. I mean, if there's a new game plus, I don't know. I'm going to hold off because I'm in the middle of Triangle Strategy. But Marco, I know you're going to get it soon. Well, what about you, Serge? Do you have this game?
I am waiting on my rental to arrive. It should be any day now. I'm going to give it another chance. I wasn't too impressed with the demo, but the full game, it might convince me.
Well, the game is getting like a bunch of nines across the board.
Yeah.
It's getting rated really highly critically, which is surprising for a Kirby game. Kirby games are like, they're often said to be like the B-tier franchises of Nintendo.
Right.
But this one just is like a whole step in a new direction. Like, Kirby's going to 3D for the first time. And with that, it just comes a lot of expectations and a lot of quality increases. It's really hard to believe, but it's happening.
Yeah. And speaking of happening, there is another thing that is happening, or it did happen.
Ooh, segue.
Earlier this week.
What a segue.
What a segue, I know, yeah.
That was a segue, yep.
That was a... Okay, that's not how we're supposed to do it. You don't call a segue like that, but anyway, no, you're right, though. So, it's okay, we're going to keep it in, we're not going to edit it out. But yes, there is one thing that did happen, and it is a new feature that came on to the Nintendo Switch earlier this week on Monday. It's what a lot of people have been waiting for. Probably one of the most requested, if not the most requested, maybe. It is the ability to sort games into folders or groups. What? Whoa. It's finally here, guys. I mean...
Can you believe it? After all these years?
After five years?
Five years.
I know.
5 years.
They finally gave us groups. And for those who may or may not know, you can now create groups of software to help organize your games, and you can name your groups any way you want, Like, for me, I have a group name, for example, called Games on My Plate, which means games that I have currently playing. And that's all. And that's the only group I've created. I haven't really sorted through my groups yet because I have a lot of games that I just have to sort through. But it's really cool because you can have up to 100 groups with a max of 200 titles per group. So that's quite a lot. Yeah, so if you have a lot of games, this is the way to go. Now, having said that, this is the only way to do this is if you own 13 or more software titles, okay? Now, software titles, you know, you'll see the icons on your Switch in the main menu. If you have 13 or more, you'll have the all software button that you can click to the all software screen. Mm-hmm. Then you'll be able to create groups and organize your games. Have at it. But yeah, I just wanted to talk about that with you guys. What do you all think about this new feature?
Oh man. Okay, so groups is like a very Nintendo way to introduce folders. Because, well, everyone was expecting folders after what we had on the 3DS, but now they introduce this weird, like, minimalist thing called groups, where everything's just, like, grouped together. It's technically folders in essence. Like, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
Right.
And so, with that, I've organized, like, one group only, because I'm a highly disorganized person. I just pick and choose what I want to play across all of my games. And the only group that I've made so far is just based on the game I'm currently playing, Triangle Strategy, is Black Square Enix Black Title Card RPGs. Because this is a thing now for some reason. Like, with Square Enix, they're just making like Black Title Cards for their games all the time. And it's weird. Yeah, it's a thing, but it's like it signifies the Team Asano development team. They like their games are like signified with those title cards now. So that's I just organize them like that. Just because there's like a bunch of them on Switch now. So I thought it was kind of funny. That's all I have for now.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to get them in. I wanted to use them. I would actually use them. I would segregate single player and multiplayer games. That would be the first thing I would do. But I really want to have access to my groups. I'm going to call them folders. I want to have access to my groups on the main screen, on the home screen, where, where it makes sense. Gosh. But this is a very Nintendo thing to do. You do what people are asking you to do. You give it a different name and you break it completely in one unexpected way. That's Nintendo for you.
Yo, I am so glad. I am so freaking glad you mentioned that, because that was my number one thing that I did not like about this. The fact that you can't put the group in the main home screen. Once I realized that myself, I was like, yo, I don't really care about this anymore. I know you're thinking, wow, Kevin, you're just going to complain about this all day.
Yeah.
Yes or no? I mean, look, I'm going to tell that like it is, like what Serge just did. I mean, it's nice to have this feature, but for me, I just think it would be a nice thing to have when you can use your group on the main home screen. It's like, oh, okay, what are the games I have on my plate? Oh, click. Oh, yo, I have 27,000 games. No, I'm just kidding. No, I actually have 4 games on my plate right now. And I just want to be able to access it so quickly on the main screen. I mean, granted, though, I can see why they didn't want to do that, because like, if you're on the main home screen and you already have a few games that you're already playing already. I mean, they're going to show up anyway, like right then and there. But I just feel like it is a missed opportunity for them to do that. I mean, I don't know how hard it is to do that for this situation. But yeah, it just would have been nice. I mean, because right now I have to like go to all software. Then I have to check my groups. Then I can click on the group. I mean, you know, that's a couple buttons too many. I just want to see it. I want to see the group.
Technically, it's like 2 clicks and then you go into it. That's a little too much. Yeah. I agree with you a lot.
let's give them 5 more years. Maybe we'll get it on the home screen.
Oh man, 5 years.
Yeah, hopefully.
It's like the magic year number.
And then we'll get a gray theme.
Oh yeah.
I would like a charcoal gray. That is probably the best gray, in my opinion. Now, what I'm saying is not absolute. It could be. No, it's not. It's not. But I mean, charcoal gray is pretty nice. But yeah, I agree.
But yeah, themes are definitely next. We've had the basic black and white for like how since the beginning, and that was it.
Yeah.
It's weird because I grew up with the PS3, right? And then when I first started playing with the PS3, themes were already there, right? It's like, oh, okay, I can change my wallpaper, I can make it how I want it, and I can get like different wallpapers from certain games that I really like. And you know, I actually have a exclusive PSX, which is an event, like kind of like E3, but for Sony. And I had like a exclusive wallpaper that I use back then, and I love it. And I'm like, man, I wish I could have something like this for the Switch. Not a Sony wallpaper, but a Nintendo wallpaper. Like, you know, something that's more tailored towards that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, but themes would be great.
Yeah, personally, I'm just wanting more like game related themes, like we had on the 3DS.
Yes.
Animal Crossing ones, you had Fire Emblem, Monster
music,
Hunter.
Yes.
Mario. Yeah. Yeah, with the music too. The musical themes are like included and detailed into each of the menu OS. It's just, ugh.
Yeah, and that's like easy money for Nintendo. It's like they don't want it.
They don't want it.
That's the theme of the day.
I don't know. I just feel like Nintendo's like deliberately trying to keep their OS as like minimalistic as possible.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I mean, that's a nice path to go, but
I don't know why.
I don't know why either, but I mean, options are, it's never a bad thing to have options.
Yes,
and
exactly.
Maybe they want to do it their way, which is fine. I mean, look, there's only so much that we can say, or we can have a say, but yeah, I mean, it would be cool. You hear us, Nintendo? In 5 years, we want themes. Hopefully sooner.
That's cool.
Yeah. Ooh, well, I'm just gonna leave it at that. I don't want to go further, but yes, that's the best way. Well, in this podcast, that is the right way. That's cool.
Okay.
So, but you know what also is cool? Something that we haven't done in a long time.
Ah.
You know, for those who may or may not know, we have these situations, these occasions where we would get some listener mail, right? We get some questions like, hey, ask a question on our Discord community, which you should join because it's awesome. And we'll get questions and we'll put into a list, right? Our listener mail archive. And yeah, well, I mean, we'll have the list, and at times we'll pull from that list and answer questions, and that'll be our episode. But it's been a while. It's been a minute, but it's back. It is back. We are going to do one round of listener mail. Ooh.
So I take care of my niece a lot. So I've been watching a lot of Blue's Clues with her. And you know that segment where it's like, mail time.
Yes.
I just have that in my mind right now for some reason.
No, I appreciate that, man. Shout out to Steve. Shout out to Steve, the original. From Blue's Clues. Oh, man.
The OG.
Yes. Very good. Oh, man. Okay. I don't want to get too close or too far into Blue's Clues, but yeah, we're going to do this. We're not sponsored by Blue's Clues.
Not yet. Not finalized.
Oh, my gosh. Oh,
man.
Oh, no.
That'd be something.
All right. Well, let's just jump back into this thing that we have here. We're going to do one round listener mail. Each of us we'll pick one question from our listener mailbag, and we'll all answer it, and we'll go from there. Sounds good, guys?
Yes. Yep.
All right.
And guess who's first? It's you, Marco.
Oh.
You're going to go first. You get to pick a question.
All right. So there's this very cool guy named Dragon. I have no idea who that might be. No, I'm just kidding.
Who's that?
Yeah. Sounds like a cool guy.
All right. So I once asked, I got to know, how honestly well have N64 games aged for you? Are you overall positive on the 64? And can you readily replay many of its games today and have great fun without incident? Very nice question, Dragon. All right. So the reason I asked this is, of course, we had the N64 online recently added to Nintendo Switch Online, and, you know, with all of that, we have a slew of great N64 games that are now on the table, for Switch owners to discover for the first time.
Right.
And no, one of the ones that I played recently for our puzzle, no wait, the free space game of the month is Banjo-Kazooie. This game was like momentous because it was from a locked IP from Microsoft for like all these years since they were they bought Rare, who was the company who made Banjo-Kazooie and others, famously on the N64. And now we have Banjo-Kazooie back. And I finally got to play it for the first time. And, you know, that speaks a lot since I've never played this game before. But years later, now I found myself just having like a super great time with Banjo-Kazooie. It reminded me a lot of Mario 64. It's just, it plays so well still. There's like open environments. It's polygonal in graphics and presentation, of course. And there's a little jank at times. In Treasure Trove Cove, which is the second world, there's like a shark that chases and attacks you. And there's like a collectible that's like hidden in the water, and then he chases you. And there's a little jank with that because you can't like swim and like get up in fast enough in time for him to get to get out of his way. But overall, like, I had like a hugely great time with that game.
Nice.
Because I love collectathons, and that's sort of like a genre that's kind of going away.
Yes, yeah.
And with that coming back, I'm just so happy that I got to discover it again. And, you know, I got to defeat Gruntilda the Witch. I got to go through like her numerous caverns of her lair. It's just, this game was fantastic. And it still plays really well. Like, I would highly recommend everyone just check this game out right now. Just because I really do believe like many N64 games like age super well. And that's my answer.
See, I mean, I don't disagree with you, but I think your history with the system, and if we have a history with the system, that plays a lot with it. We know what to expect. And when we pick up an N64 game again, we know what to expect. We know what we played, and we're right back there, and the nostalgia plays some part of it. And it feels great. I tried a couple of games out, and they felt fantastic, just like as they did back then. But to somebody playing them for the first time, I can definitely see them thinking this feels pretty slow, a little bit sluggish, especially... I guess it depends on their history with retro games. Even if they are familiar with some NES, SNES games, even some of those feel faster than some on the N64 games. And it varies between games. I feel like a 64 game that has aged very well, even if this is your first time playing like an older game or an N64 game, would be Paper Mario, the original.
Yeah,
I think that's a fantastic game to play, regardless of your experience with the system.
Yeah, that's a great point. And we have to remember that a lot of people who are playing N64 games now, I'm pretty sure a lot of them have not owned an N64 before. I mean, And they're seeing this like, oh, okay, this is cool and all, but I mean, why can't I just play other games that just came out not too long ago, like this year? You know, like what? So I think nostalgia does play a huge role, but at the same time, I do agree with you, Sergio, that something like Paper Mario did age pretty well, but I feel like that's because of the way it was created, like the graphics and just the presentation.
Right.
Something like Mario Tennis. I played it.
It's
in terms of visually, it didn't age that well, but gameplay wise, I totally played it. I played it quite a bit.
Yeah,
when it first came out, but I mean, first came out for the online system here for the Nintendo Switch Online membership. But yeah, I didn't play it in N64, so I don't have that history with it.
Okay.
Yeah, so Mario Tennis, that one, the gameplay like feels good, but there's like a lot of janky stuff with it, so that's a good counterpoint.
Yeah,
it's still like casually really fun. Like, you can play that with your friends up to 4 players and you'll have a great time. But yeah, I can see why that's like not the best example of an N64 game aging well.
Yeah, I guess it's one of those games that there's definitely newer entries on the series that are mostly easily accessible, so that's more for like the nostalgia part of it. But something like the original Paper Mario, that the story hasn't been repeated somewhere else, so there's no remake or remaster, you might as well experience it there, and it has aged well.
Yeah, that game kind of reminds me of like Super Mario RPG on the SNES. Mm. You know, for the SNES, that game just looks marvelous. Yes. It's aged super well.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Likewise with Paper Mario on the N64, it's not like polygons screaming at you. It's like a paper 2D aesthetic. And there aren't really like a lot of 2D games on the N64. So that's like pretty unique in itself. Otherwise, the gameplay is really unique. It's an RPG as well. Like, there weren't many RPGs on the N64.
That's true.
It was actually like supposed to be like the sequel to Super Mario RPG.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, my heart is broken again. I mean, you tapped into this game that I love so freaking much. Super Mario RPG and Legend of Seven Stars. I mean, just a masterpiece. I 5,000,000% agree with you that Super Mario RPG ages pretty well. And if you play it right now, if they have it on Nintendo Switch Online, which I hope they do someday. Awesome. Oh my gosh, I'm playing it. I'm dropping every single game that I have in my backlog just to play through once again. Like, it is so good. It universally well done. I mean, the characters, the presentation, the story. I know we're talking about N64, but I'm just going to... Yeah. So, there's that. But back to N64. Yeah, I think nostalgia does play a huge role. I mean, I still love playing Mario Kart 64. I did play a bit not that long ago. And I gotta say, I'm 50-50 on whether it aged well or not. I mean, I guess it really depends, because on the Switch Online system, like just the service, you can play it. But if you play the original Mario Kart 64 on an N64 on like an HDTV, my goodness.
Oh, blown up.
It is not good. So one of my friends, my coworker friends, shout out to Jack, we had a situation where he had that set up. And we just started playing, and my gosh, it was really hard to play. Like, I mean, I'm just like, yo, I am not playing this ever again. Because it's just like, it's impossible to play. But now it's on the Switch Online membership service. I'm like, yo, this is actually legit. So I think it just depends on the platform. Like, if you're playing an N64 game that is catered and ported towards the Switch in this way, I think it's fine. But if you play it originally on like an HDTV on the original N64, yeah, it's just gonna be hard. I mean, I just can't.
Yeah, Mario Kart, I remember playing that on the virtual console on the Wii, and there was like inherent lag in it. I don't know, I might have been going crazy back then. That one also hasn't aged well because of its mechanics, but you can still have fun with it. I think the nostalgia point that you guys mentioned is very, yeah, that's fair. I have a lot of nostalgia for N64, so I actively enjoy playing N64 games, even if they're new to me, just because I grew up in that world, and yeah, it's very familiar.
I have one question. Now, given the fact that getting a Nintendo 64 controller for the Switch is really, really hard,
yeah,
if you were to get one, would that make the experience better?
Ooh,
Okay, so why is that?
Okay, a lot of N64 games, like the N64 controller was like very unique, right? Mm-hmm. Like it had like, I think it was hexagonish shape. So there were like wedges in it that were gated, so you can move it to like the stick to like precise points on it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that really helps with a lot of games, like Mario 64, because you don't always travel in like specific lines. And so you just want to like have that certain precise movement when you platform in 3D, especially, because a lot of N64 games were like 3D games for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, definitely there's going to be like a highlight or an advantage to using the N64 controller. I want to mention the C buttons too. Like, the way NSO currently implements the Pro Controller to have like the C buttons mapped onto it is like really shoddy. Because you have like the C buttons mapped to like up and left on X and Y or something, and then the others like change. It's like, it's a mess. So there's definitely like, you definitely want to get the N64 controller if you want to have like the ideal experience on Switch.
Yeah, I'm hoping they become more easily accessible and for like a fair price later on, especially because they actually have built-in rumble. So that's like, oh yes, that was a big yes for me.
Yeah, I would like that, especially when I play Star Fox. Ooh,
yeah.
The memories.
That's a good one. You do the loop, yeah. Loop, you know, it's like down and C left or something.
Yes.
See, oh, there's only one way to do that. It's with the N64 controller.
For sure. Well, there you have it, folks. Dragon answer, Dragon's answer. Or yeah. Dragon answers Dragon's question.
Yes.
Excuse me.
Good answers. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, guess who's second pick? None other than our Lieutenant Surge. Yep.
I love this question by Phoenix. She asks, is there a game soundtrack that caused you to enjoy a game and or series more? And the opposite, is there a game or series that if it had a better or different soundtrack, you would have enjoyed the game more? And I have a perfect answer to both of these questions. So, for the first one, back when Super Mario Sunshine came out, I got the game, I played it a little bit, and it just didn't click with me. It didn't feel nearly as good as Mario 64 did. That was back then when I played the version on the Switch in the Mario Collection. I enjoyed it more. But yeah, back then, Sunshine kind of let me down. And
no.
I thought, you know, maybe 3D Mario games are not for me anymore. I love the heck out of 64, but Sunshine, not even Yoshi could save that one for me. Just for me. So when Mario Galaxy came out, I actually didn't buy it on day one. I actually didn't want the game at all. I thought, it's just going to be like Galaxy. It's not going to be that good.
Heartbreaking.
But crazy as I am, I tend to download the soundtracks of games, even games that I don't have. And I had the soundtrack for Super Mario Galaxy. And one random day, as I'm doing college work here in my computer, I have my music on shuffle. And here comes the song from Gusty Gardens Galaxy. And I fall in love, like love at first hear, listen. I fell in complete love and I looked it up. What is this masterpiece? It's Galaxy. I have to buy this game. I ordered it. I got it. I played the heck out of it. That I think it was around the summer. And it's one of my favorite games of all time. And the thing that I would have missed it if it wasn't for that song. And that song, I mean, it's just one song of an amazing soundtrack, in my opinion. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I love that game. And not because of its soundtrack. I mean, that's why I got it, but the gameplay definitely backs it up, too. As for a game that I would have enjoyed more if it had, I was going to say an actual soundtrack. I'm kind of being mean on purpose. I just wish Breath of the Wild had music out and about when you're exploring. I know it has like some piano here and there, but I want like slow versions of traditional Zelda songs that we know and love. I know the game definitely has music when you're like in towns or in battles or in more like action sequences. I just want that when I'm exploring. I just want some music. I know it's important to be able to listen to the environment and the enemies and the collectibles that you can get. But come on, just throw in some music. Zelda is known for its music.
Yeah, I can see what you're saying. I mean, you want that majestic, right? You want that while you're riding your horse, or I mean, just like frolicking around. I mean, it's I hear you, man.
Oh yeah,
that definitely can be a thing. But look, they decide to, as how they do with the Switch, to be more minimalistic, right? They want to have like little to no music. I mean, even though there is music, as you mentioned, but yeah, I totally get what you're saying.
And it is really good. So if they could have put some of that goodness out in the field when in the open world, that might have saved that game for me.
The open world. Okay, you make a very good point. Zelda is a good answer for me too, just because Zelda music is so defined of what Zelda is. Like when you solve a puzzle, it goes do-do-do-do.
Yeah.
And, you know, that chime, as you said, Kevin, with the Hyrule field, open world, with the general Zelda music there.
Yeah.
So much of it, I fell in love with Ocarina of Time, which is my first Zelda game, simply because the Ocarina is, like, highly instrumental to that game. Likewise, like, with a lot of Zelda games, there's, like, the hero uses an instrument. But in Ocarina of Time especially, you use it to save Zelda, you use it to call your horse Epona, you use it to travel to the different realms with the travel songs like Bolero of Fire, Minuet of the Woods, etc. It's just so like ingrained into Zelda, and it's just that's just one of the ones that I just can't imagine loving as much if the musicalness wasn't as on point.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, man. I mean, oh gosh, music is such a big thing in games, and for me, I have two answers to this: where a game soundtrack caused me to enjoy two games way more. The first one I'm gonna say is Final Fantasy VII, right? When you're even just going to a battle, when you hear the bup da 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 da, and then it goes to ba da 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 ba ba ba, it just keeps crescending, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, like I feel like I'm gonna just bounce out of my seat and like destroy all my enemies, right? I'm just like so pumped, and I'm just like, holy crap, like this is amazing. And then once you you know, win the battle, you go, you hear that victory tune, and you're just like, wow, I can listen to this every single time. And not just that, but even the boss themes, oh my gosh, like when you hear that jingle, I get chills just even talking about it right now. Like, I think that's probably my second favorite thing about Final Fantasy VII. It's the music. Like, number two. I mean, and then the second one is One Step from Eden, which is a roguelike action video game that we've talked about before. Yeah. So it's, think of like Mega Man Battle Network, but in the realm of, well, just in a different realm. And the music is just gives you a lot of adrenaline, and like I love this so much, I added to my Spotify, like my Spotify playlist, and I use it whenever I go long distance running. Like every single time I went on a run, I had to listen to the soundtrack.
Nice.
Even when I got suggestions from other friends who ran, that gave me their soundtracks, like, yeah, it's cool and all, and I did listen to it. But I didn't listen to it when I'm running. Like, I just like, yo, this is not doing it for me. And I apologize for those who I'm saying this to. But yeah, like, One Step from Eden, yo, like, that soundtrack, if you want to feel like you're a champion, and you are a champion, and you are just, I mean, because you are, and everybody is, and you're going on a run, you have to listen to the soundtrack. It just gets you pumped every time. But yeah, so those are two games that I just, man, just magnify my experience. I hate to say this, but there is one game that I wish could have had a more memorable soundtrack that would have maybe made me like the game a bit more. Right. Final Fantasy XV. Look, man. I mean, like, I mean, the soundtrack, you know, it's decent, but just not that memorable for me. I mean, and there's a lot of things wrong with the game, as I mentioned in previous episodes. But I think if they had a more memorable soundtrack, I would have, how do I say this? I would have tolerated it a bit more. So yeah, that's the truth for me. And again, and you know, this is from the same series, Final Fantasy series. Like, you know, I talked about 7, and now it's 15. Yeah, so that's all it is, man. I mean,
well, there's like boy band music in that game.
it's good. It did not magnify my experience. Like it didn't like make it.
I got you.
I wish it did, but like, and for me, I'm very peculiar about my music, and I'm pretty sure I'm just. I mean, I could be hating a little bit, but you know, I had so much hype for Final Fantasy XV. Like, I expected a lot from it, and so I'm just like, oh gosh. And like, I tell you right now, I can't even remember a single piece of music from Final Fantasy XV right now. I just can't.
Oh, man.
I mean,
not good.
And coming from me, I'm like, yo, this is, yeah. But
yeah,
Final Fantasy usually has really great music. Like you were saying, 7, like, gosh.
Yeah.
I remember just all the boss battle theme and the normal battle theme, as you were saying, is just super memorable.
Yeah.
My favorite music from that game is the opening bomb mission one. Yeah.
Yes. Oh my gosh, that's and that's like a masterclass in game music. Like when you hear that theme, you're just like, okay, this is like, you're building up to this moment, and you're about to go, like, you're legit as if you are there. Like,
yeah.
The music itself is so important, because it's one thing to listen to it, but it's another thing to embody it. When you embody the music, that just magnifies the experience of you playing the game even more. And so I think that's so important when it comes to, you know, making sure that the music itself plays well to the game. So
very good point.
All right. And now I will pick our final question of the day from our listener mail. Oh boy. So we got one from one of our favorite people in the world, Shy Guy, aka TJ. Now he asks, if Nintendo's next system is not backward compatible with the Switch's library, will you still buy it?
That's a good question.
Man, this is like opening up a can of worms, and I'm not ready to answer this, but I kind of am.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's hard, because I still want to buy it, but like I would just be very, I don't know.
You'd be disappointed.
I'd be sad, yeah, because like I've spent a lot of my investment into the Switch games that I have, and it would just be a huge downer if I'm not able to play on the new system, right? Because it's like, here you have a system that is revolutionary, like pretty much changed the industry the way it is now, and you know, then Nintendo says, oh, okay, we have a new console now, but you can't play your old Switch games. It's like, oh, okay. And then they're like, oh, but we'll fix it, so you can buy the same games, but it's on our virtual console sort of thing. I'm like, okay, I don't know. No, I don't know if they're gonna do that, but yeah, I mean, I'll just be really sad if I think as a Nintendo fan, I'd probably still buy it, but I'm like, I don't know. That would be very conflicting. I'd probably have to flip a coin, so.
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
For me personally, I would still buy it just because I'm that much of a hardcore fan of Nintendo. But I understand the disappointment with that. Like, we had backwards compatibility from the Wii with the GameCube, and then we had Wii U with Wii. And now when we went to the Switch, it's like all that went away, but there was a good reason for it, because we had a new form factor with the Switch. So that they kind of rebooted everything, and that's why we have like no backwards compatibility now. But for the next system, I would like not as easily like excuse it, because we definitely, as fans, we really want them to keep going with this architecture, with the hybrid model. We want them to keep going with Switch-like games and experiences. And just like having all of that there day one is like really important to us. You know, there's also like the factor of game preservation. You know, as we have like the Wii U and 3DS games, like eShops are closing right now. We're losing a bunch of games.
Yeah.
And eventually it's going to happen to the Switch too. And then, yeah, I think it's really important for Nintendo to find some way to carry it forward and pay it forward for their fans, especially.
Man, you made a lot of good points, but I'm still going to disagree with you. Yeah, I mean, okay. I would buy whatever they put out regardless of backwards compatibility or not. I think it shouldn't have it. I think they need to move forward. They need to keep innovating. And look, we can still keep our Switches. They're not going to get like super, super old. They're not going to become retro all of a sudden. So let's just keep our Switch. We keep our games, our accessories, our Joy-Con, even with the drift. And we get the new system, and it has more power and more features that, as long as those power and features actually show and you can tell, okay, I couldn't, no developer could do this on the Switch, then yes, I'm down for having something completely different. It doesn't play all Switch games. That's okay. If it makes sense.
Yeah, that's why I'm conflicted, man. I mean, like, because when you have new stuff, you're like, yo, I just want to gravitate to that. And it's, okay, yeah, I think I'm in the same boat. I mean, I will buy it, but I'll still be really sad if I'm not able to play Switch.
Yeah, I'll definitely be sad. I'll still buy it, of course, because I'm that big of a fan.
Yeah.
Personally. But you make a good point. Like,
you do.
Yeah, personally, I agree. Like, the reason I buy a new system is to play the new system's games. I'm not going to like, spend that much time on the old games from like its immediate predecessor or even like legacy titles as much. Although I do dabble in that a lot, but the most important, as long as the most important experiences are there, that's like, that's good enough in a lot of ways.
Right.
Yeah. I agree with that sentiment. So that's a fair point.
I think something that I just thought of just now with what you both are saying is if it's not backward compatible, this is a perfect opportunity for indie developers to shine even more in the new console, because that's what we have right now with the Switch, right? You know, you see a lot of the indie devs porting their games to the Switch and or making new games for the Switch. And there was that talk about how VC or Virtual Console wasn't coming back and people were upset about it, but then it's like, well, the argument can be made that if Virtual Console were to be back for the Switch for previous games, this is before NSO. This is before Nintendo Switch Online, right? Like, if that were to happen for Virtual Console to come back, I feel like indie devs wouldn't be able to stand a chance. People wouldn't be open to trying these indie games that have a lot of love now. And so I think it is important for Nintendo to recognize that they have an opportunity to showcase these other games that are not first party, that need the love, that need the attention, deserve the attention, actually. And just be able to shine and open people to more new experiences. So, yeah, I mean, if they don't make it backwards compatible, yeah, I mean.
That's an interesting point.
Yeah.
I don't know how viable that is. I don't know. Is that a bad word to say for that?
No, not at all.
No, yeah. No.
It's a great word.
I kind of want to disagree, respectfully.
You can disrespectfully disagree.
You know, these are like past games, past experiences. They'll always be in the market. So people aren't always going to be like flocking to these as opposed to like the new games and the new experiences, which includes the indie games and experiences and titles. So
yeah.
I think they're like separate enough in their markets, but who knows? You could be right to a degree.
And that's why we have this healthy debate. Yeah, no, but great question from Shai. And
it's a tough one.
It is. And there you have it, folks. That is our listener mail. What do you guys think?
Oh, that was fun. Let's play that dragon guy. Man, just always ask great, interesting, unique questions.
Yeah, man.
It was fun.
It was fun. Well, speaking of fun, we do have one more line of business to take care of. Sergio, take it away.
Yes, we have answers to our question. Last week we asked, what non-recent first-party Nintendo title should get DLC, kind of like Mario Kart 8 Deluxe did? So we're going to take turns reading the answers. Should we go Kevin, then myself, then Marco?
Yeah, sounds good. All right, so we got Naprat at the helm. He said, Mario Odyssey, a few new kingdoms would really spice up that game and would cause everyone to revisit it. They still have it. Revisit if they still have it. Excuse me. I'm not holding out hope for a new 3D Mario in the near future, so this is the ticket. I would love that too.
I agree.
I would. Yeah.
That game would just deserve it so much.
Yeah.
Yep.
Totally.
The real TJ said, I would love some DLC for The Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword. Oh, I still love the atmosphere, story, and most importantly, the dungeons of that game, and I would love some DLC, which would include some new items, one or two new regions, and most importantly, some new dungeons. I think story-wise, it would be nice for Link and Zelda to explore Hyrule together now that Skyloft has come to the surface, and the story could also focus on their relationship. That is a great answer. Very well thought out. I like that one.
Yeah. Skyward Sword is currently like a complete game, and they remade it in HD recently, last year.
Ah, that would be a good excuse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they didn't take the chance to add anything new then, so I don't really see it. It's unlikely just because it's a complete origin story. So
Right.
But I would love it, to be honest.
Yeah, that would be pretty awesome.
Good stuff.
Because he alludes to the ending of that game. It's just you definitely want to see more of Link and Zelda in that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So Cube says, ARMS, the game deserves more than it got. And I hope Nintendo doesn't abandon it forever.
That is very true.
Yeah. It was really fun. And gosh, I just remembered getting the game and playing it. And then Splatoon 2 came out. And I'm like, oh gosh, now I'm like addicted to Splatoon. And I felt like, and I hope I'm not the only one, but I felt like a lot of people kind of abandoned ARMS. Like, yeah. I mean, people still played it, but like it wasn't at the same participation level as it was after Splatoon 2 came out. And so, I mean, I would, yeah, I totally would like some ARMS DLC.
I'm kind of like fearing that's going to happen again with Strikers and Splatoon 3. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, you're right. No, no,
is that for real? Like, did they announce the date for Splatoon?
Well, Strikers is June, and then a lot of us are expecting Splatoon 3 in July.
Yeah. So man.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know. This year is too packed, and then a lot of things are going to step on each other's toes. It's kind of what I'm expecting, unfortunately.
Man, you make a good point. I was also thinking that if Nintendo is going sort of in chronological order, because Mario Kart 8 Deluxe got DLC, and then ARMS came out soon after Mario Kart 8 Deluxe on the Switch, so maybe if they're going with the DLC sequence, that would be the next one. So I could see Cube's answer working.
Mm-hmm. ARMS getting DLC 5 years later, that would be unprecedented, to say the least.
Yeah.
That would be awesome. I would like some more characters. I mean, well, there's that. And we have Shy Guy. He said, I'm ditto with Rats. So Napping Rat said Mario Odyssey. So to continue, Mario Odyssey DLC would be so, so good. Yeah. Mm. I would love it.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Just more 3D Mario. Let's do it. Mm.
It's a go.
To Roberto said, Mario Party Superstars could really use a DLC at this point.
Please.
Every 2 months, one new board for a year, something like that? Yes. Yes. Definitely. Big yes.
Ooh.
Gosh, he kind of like avoided the question, but I still agree with him the most.
Yeah.
Mario Party Superstars is just, it needs DLC. It only has five boards, and there's like one board missing from Mario Party 3.
I know.
I mean, we just need more, because everyone's favorites, nostalgic favorites, already in the original N64 trilogy, and that game was just fan service all around for the hardcore Mario Party fans like myself, so it's just, we definitely need it.
Here's hoping, yes.
Here we go.
Next, we have Big Shot. He says, The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild DLC. I keep hearing rumors of a sequel, but I'm starting to think it's all fake.
Oh, man. I mean, it would be cool, but I feel like if they announce DLC, I think people would be mad and be like, yo, where's Breath of the Wild 2, right? I mean, that's my opinion.
Yeah, that would be really weird, especially if they already got DLC, so.
Right? Yeah.
I don't know what he's really thinking there, but
it's a big shot from a big shot. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
The fans would eat it up either way, though, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Right. Last but not least, we have Figment. He said, I'd love to see some DLC for Paper Mario, the Origami King. And I would too. Yeah. I like that entry. I remember finishing the game, I'm like, yeah, this is a pretty good game. And we even have a game of the month for it too, so if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So it was definitely, I would love some DLC. I would also like Super Mario RPG to come on the Switch. Obviously not really obviously related. No, but yeah, I think Origami King definitely deserves DLC for sure.
Well, I was thinking about a good answer for this, and I come up with something interesting. I think Yoshi's Crafted World could use DLC, but we're gonna give it a little bit of a twist, because Marco earlier alluded to Kirby being kind of like a B-tier series, and I think that's how the Yoshi series is, at least so far. Not to say it's a bad thing. I mean, you know, not every first-party franchise can be a AAA material, right? Some have to be kind of like Kirby, kind of like Yoshi. But I think Yoshi's Crafted World could use some interesting DLC. I want Yoshi's Island to be remade in the Yoshi's Crafted World engine, and that could be DLC. It would be a little bit pricey because it could be like a full game, just like in a different art style and with the new mechanics of the game, if they can work them in. I think that would be like an interesting mix, an interesting take on DLC.
Yeah, that's an amazing idea, just because a lot of people kind of put down Crafted World just because it's a little mediocre to some people, especially compared to Woolly World. And a great presentation, music, more like traditional 2D levels. This one is more like gimmicky 3D, like front end and back end type level design. And people didn't like the music, especially, even though I think personally think it's decent.
Mm-hmm.
But putting something like Yoshi's Island in there would be like a good step to help alleviate fans who were like disappointed. I would really enjoy that.
Yeah.
Especially as someone who's already a fan of the game.
I'm with it. I mean, I'm sure they'll craft a good DLC.
New idea. Yoshi's Crafted Singles.
Yes! What? Make it happen, Nintendo, please. Yes.
What?
Oh man, jeez.
Oh, I see. Crafted. Oh.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Oh man. Shout out to our childhood, man. Crafted. Oh gosh. That could be its own episode. Non Nintendo affiliated.
And not sponsored.
Speaking of sponsors.
Now we're sponsored.
We've tried. I think the first one we've tried to do was kombucha. Ooh, I had to bring it back. We did. I mean, we as in me, and then the other two hosts, like Daryl, Sergio, were just like, at the time they were just like, oh okay, yeah, kombucha. We'll see.
Kombucha. Decent drink.
I'm still waiting on a sponsor from our local kombucha. companies now. I'm done with that. But yes, Sergio, I think Crafted World definitely would use some DLC. I have an answer. I was gonna say Pikmin 3, but I'm not gonna say it because I did not play it.
Ugh.
Except the demo. I know. You're probably thinking, Kevin.
I wanted you to say it.
You wanted me to say it. I know.
Yeah.
But I'm not gonna say it because.
Oh, love that too.
Okay. Well. All right. Well, that's my pseudo answer, but my real answer would be Clubhouse Games, 51 Worldwide Classics.
Oh.
Now, I think having DLC now would be great. I actually still play it, and I think it's pretty good. You know, there's some good games there that I like to play a lot. You know, Hanafuda, Mahjong, Hanafuda, Last Card, Hanafuda, Hanafuda, and Hanafuda. See, a lot of good games, right? No, there's more than that. But yeah, I think if they added more classic games, like at least 20 of them, I think it'd be really great, and people would start coming back to it because it's nice to play those sort of games and just have fun in that. I think it'd be great. I mean, yeah, we have a lot of these games like Splatoon and Mario Kart and Mario Party, but what about the games that we grew up with that you didn't play in the video game format in the first place? You know, like chess or Mahjong. Like, let's get some more of those, but in Clubhouse Games. Let's get that DLC. It's, you know, it released June 5th, 2020. Yeah, it's been at least 1.5 years. It's about time. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Kevin, there's a fatal flaw in your idea. This is Clubhouse Games 51 Worldwide Classics.
Yeah.
If they added a game, or it wouldn't be 51 anymore.
I know, but...
Just make sure they don't add a classic.
Yeah, oh. That's right. Oh, ooh, there we go. Big brain.
Big brain, Sergio. Big bunny brain.
Oh, man. All right.
Hair brain.
There you have it, folks. Clubhouse Games, DLC. Let's go.
Nice.
All right. Well, Marco, what is your answer to this question?
I agree with Naprat. I would go Mario Odyssey because I don't really expect the new Mario 3D open world Mario game again soon. Yeah, I don't know why. We just got like 3D All-Stars collection and 3D World. Well, maybe. We'll see. But Mario Odyssey definitely deserves it, just because it feels like such a tentpole release of the Switch. It had such a significant part of the original year of it, and such a memorable experience. To a lot of people like myself, I think it's like one of the best 3D Mario games. I just like definitely want more of it. I want more Cappy action, more kingdoms to discover. I just definitely want to discover that world again.
Mm.
It would be such a fan favorite to include it now.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you're here at Nintendo, make it happen.
Nice.
All right, we have this week's weekly question of the week for this week. Ask this week, answer next week. Do you prefer easy games or hard games? And yes, we're asking because of Kirby.
Very nice.
Is there a third option?
No. Easy or hard?
Normal. How about if there's like a fluffy difficulty for Kirby?
Oh.
Now that sounds like easy to me, but...
Like mellow mode? Like Yoshi had mellow mode.
Yeah.
But we'll wait until next week.
All right.
All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. We're going to jump out of here. If you haven't already, join our Discord group. The description for this episode has a link to it if you would like to join. We are also on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And check out our blog at nintendojump.blogspot.com. Send us any feedback you have at nintendojumppodcast@gmail.com. The best way to support the show is through our Patreon page at patreon.com/NintendoJump or by leaving a review for the show in your favorite podcast application. This is Sergio, and on behalf of Kevin and Marco, thanks for listening, and we hope you have an awesome week. Bye-bye.
Goodbye, everybody. Stay safe, take care, and have a good Kirby day.
Some pollo with your pollo. See ya.